Hello, good afternoon. We will wait for 1 or 2 minutes for more of the investors to join, and then after 1 or 2 minutes, we'll resume the call. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Swadee Kaap. Good afternoon. We are going to start our review of the quarter. So I'm Vivek Dhawan, CEO. Swadee Kaap Kum Vivek. And I have my colleagues along with me here. Mr. Francis, Mr. Manoj, Thomas, Abraham, CFO, Kutsuchintana. So we are all here. So I think the first session will be taken by Manoj. Manoj is going to start, and then I'll begin. I'll give you a little bit of a brief, and then we'll open up for Q&A, right? That's the order. So Manoj, over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. Warm welcome to everyone to the third quarter earnings calls of Mega Life Sciences. My name is Manoj Gurbakhshani. So this is how the agenda we will have for the upcoming 1 hour. We will start with financial for 9 months 2023 and third quarter 2023, and then we will have remarks from our CEO on the financial performance and the outlook for the company for 2023, and then we will open the forum for the Q&A. While you're raising your questions, maybe request to let us know your name and the company you represent while you're raising the questions to us. So thank you very much for everyone's participation. So here we go, the 9 months performance of Mega Life Sciences. Our overall operating revenue for 9 months 2023 has been at 11.5 billion baht, marginal decline of 2.4%. And this decline is mainly coming from third quarter 2023, which is mainly coming because of the exchange of Thai baht to USD. Now going into the segments, the branded business revenue for 9 months 2023 has been at 5879 million, representing a marginal decline of 1.9%. And this decline is mainly coming from third quarter 2023, as explained. In last year, 9 months 2022, our branded business had grown at a double-digit growth rate of 14.3%. And in spite of that high growth rate, we have been able to maintain our 9 months 2023 branded business revenue. Post-pandemic, the demand for COVID-friendly products have been tapering down, but our other category of products have been growing, and which has resulted in 9 months 2023 revenue of branded business to be very similar to 9 months 2022. The distribution business on the revenue front has declined by 9.8% on an adjusted basis, adjusted for the dual currency effect of Myanmar, as we have explained. And this decline is mainly attributable to loss of one principal in Myanmar, as we had guided at the start of the year. Coming to the overall gross profits of 9 months 2022, our gross profits have been at 45% of the operating revenue, quite stable. Branded business gross margins have remained steady at 65.2%, as we had guided earlier. Generally, on the branded business front, we do a gross margin of 63 to 65%. And in 9 months 2023, we have been at healthy levels of 65.2%. The distribution business gross margins have been at 22.4% adjusted for the dual currency impact. And the gross margins on the distribution business have improved because of exit of one principal in Myanmar, which had a relatively lower gross margin. And gross margin for distribution business is also influenced by principal mix, amongst other factors. The SG&A expenses have been at remain steady at 26.8% for both the periods, 9 months 2023 and 9 months 2022. And our overall adjusted net profits for 9 months 2023 have remained steady at 1706 million, which is very close to the last year adjusted profits of 1774 million. The reported net profits for 9 months 2023 have been at 1519 million, as against 1840 million. Where there's a decline of 17.4%, which is mainly coming on account of one-time forex impact for depreciation of Nigerian currency to the US dollar. Our operating cash flows have overall remained healthy at 1561 million, representing 103% of the net profits. We continue to remain a net cash company with a strong balance sheet. Overall, our capex spending has been at 193 million baht for 9 months 2023. With majority spending coming from consolidation of manufacturing operations in Thailand, Indonesia, and Australia. Overall, we plan to launch 16 new products in FY2023, out of which 13 new products we have already launched in 9 months 2023. This is on synopsis on the 9 months 2023. Coming to the third quarter, our third quarter has been at 3803 million overall, representing a decline of 6.2%. Which is mainly coming on account of appreciation of Thai baht in third quarter 2023 as compared to third quarter 2022. Branded business has been at 1.9 billion, declined similar 6.2% against for similar reasons because of appreciation of Thai baht in third quarter as compared to third quarter 2022. Distribution business decline of 8.2% on an adjusted basis, mainly as explained on account of a loss of one principal in Myanmar as we had guided at the start of the year. Overall gross margins have remained stable at 45.7%, similar to third quarter 2022. Branded business gross margins remain healthy at 65.3%, and distribution business gross margins at have been at 24% as compared to 22.7% on third quarter on an adjusted basis. SG&A expenses at 26.8%, stable third quarter 2023, similar to third quarter 2022 levels. And adjusted net profits have been at 526 million baht, a decline of 9.8%, which is commensurate to the decline in the revenue. And our overall reported net profits have been at our third quarter 2023 have been at 535 million, down by 18.7%, which is mainly arising on account of strengthening of Thai baht to US dollar. So this is in very brief the synopsis of the financial performance for 9 months 2022. And third quarter 2023. Thank you. And I will request our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, to provide. Thank you.
Thank you, Manoj. I think it's given you a flavor of what's actually happening. I think there will be concerns that we are at a bad quarter. But I think overall, we are in the right direction. This is something that was expected. The COVID boom that a lot of companies enjoy, especially being a supplement business, having vitamins and minerals and vitamin C and vitamin D, and many other such products, nuclear, have all went off the roof. And they did very well in that period and resulting in a much higher profit than we had actually planned. Our plan was to get to 2,400 million baht by 25. And we are still very confident that we'll get to that number by 25. That's our stand. We had this uptick in these 2 years, which was because of uncontrolled, unprecedented, all these things that are unknown, but we managed to do very well. In spite of that decline, if you look at the COVID product, they have declined anywhere in the range in many countries from 20 to 50%, not in our case. We have a good portfolio. We have drugs that are doing well. We have over-the-counter products that are doing well, Gofen, et cetera. And we have a lot of supplements and herbal medicine that are not related to COVID. If you look at the whole portfolio, we are doing well. In spite of COVID, in spite of Myanmar hit with a coup, in spite of Ukraine war around, and in spite of the fact, which is a one-time thing in Nigeria, which is a major currency change, which was replanned because the country corrected their currency to a new rate, which became official. But we've been managing that for a long time, but it impacted on our books. So that's the situation at the moment. But having said that, look at the real cash flow, look at the real growth in the branded business. In spite of all this, our brand business is fairly close to what we did last year, right? And if, and also some other factors are also very true. If you see 2022, I think our quarter three and one, two to three were the, quarter three was the highest profit we ever made in history in Mega. So that was also an exceptional quarter. When you compare quarter to quarter using 22, that won't happen. But if you look at 21, 20, our quarter four is always a better quarter. So hopefully if things go right, we should have a better quarter four and things should look a lot better than you are seeing. So overall, we are still sure that we should be closer, if not very far, to what, than what we did last year, which is already, to my mind, a great achievement. And we have two more years to get another 200 million baht on our top line, which we are confident of doing with what we have planned. The number of drugs, as we said, we have 16 in pipeline. We launched 13 already. We've got total 16 unique products. And many of them are being launched in the country and a pipeline of, huge pipeline of drugs happening. Indonesia, we are running at, we're increasing our capacity utilization by the day. We are producing a lot more and we are seeing much better results. A lot of products have been registered. So hopefully by 28, as we said, we should reach $30 million. Our plan was 28 or 30, I think, 20, I think originally, I think 28. In between 28 and 30, we are looking at about $30 million. We should get there with a lot of oncology, new drugs getting registered, product approvals coming in the country. And that should show an uptick. And while other countries also are drug registration in Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, everywhere, the number of products getting approved have grown. And so the expectation from our pharma business, from our over-the-counter drug business, and even supplements. I mean, if I look at 2019 and look at our base of any product, coming to 23, our base has actually grown. We are not lower than 19. So in the last 3 years, if we grew at an average rate of 5-7%, we would still not be there. So the good sign that many of our products are higher and still remain there. So after COVID, if the expectations were they will remain and grow at 30% rate, that would not happen. But so it's gone back, gone down some parts of it, and they still remain higher than the 19 number. So that's a good sign. And also stocking up, retailers buying more, consumers stocking up, that's happened. So 24, we should see again. I think we should probably start to get better again in 24. That's the expectation worldwide. Reports from anybody in the world is this. Your cabinets are stocked, your pharmacies are stocked. So repurchase is going to start with. In our case, at least we are a lot better. We are, our product range is a wide area of products and we are not suffering because of only one category. So having said that, I think most of it has been explained, the quarter results. Capex, Manoj just talked about Thailand, Indonesia. We have plans to invest more money in Thailand towards ESG and capacity expansion, some 80 million baht. Indonesia, we are, as per plan, building additional facilities to get ready for expansion, more products, including soft gel lines and all this, which is another 510 million baht. So in 2000, in the remaining period, we are expecting what, 590 million baht approximately in Capex to be spent. So between the 24-25 year period. So that's the whole plan. 23, as I said earlier, should be nearly the same numbers. And 24, we'll still again look for growth. I think we should look at single digit, mid to high single digit growth in 24. That's our plan. But having said that, 25 guidance is still that 2.4 billion baht as we had promised. And we are 100% going to get there. So as a pipeline, we have some 157 products in pipeline, 79 products are registered or pending registration, 78 are being filed. So there's a huge pipeline of drugs coming out in our business, and we should see them helping in our future plans and growth. Pharma growth, pharma will become a larger part, not larger, but I mean still continue as a proportion. Both will grow, but pharma will definitely become a larger part of our business. Nigeria, already explained more detail. If you need, you can talk to the team and they'll explain to you how it works. But at the moment, the Nigerian currency is still sitting at that 990,000 naira, and government's keen to make sure it floats and stays there. So it's open floated now, it's available. So for businesses like ours, pharma, we can still source and import products and get money out. And that's the very key and important thing. Myanmar, the same thing, large part of our business is pharma. In spite of restrictions, import licenses, turbulence in the country, we're still holding up well. I think our real challenge is that our expectation in the last few years were that we will see majority growth out of Myanmar, especially top line, but we do distribution and that may be effective. But the pharma business, where large parts of our business rest anyways, was our major focus, seems to be that we can manage and maintain. But we cannot project 20-25% growth in the country. It will be nominal and will remain. But while we have to, growth will come from other parts of the world, Vietnam, and Indonesia, etc. We should see growth and compensate for what little decline or reduction in growth rates that we see out of Myanmar. So I think that's probably it. I don't want to get into many other details. I've already told you why the COVID rate product, which is not us, you can look around the world. I mean, there's enough data around the world from 26 to 35, 40% reductions. And many companies who started only in COVID have a much more difficult time. We've been doing this for all our life. So our brands are known. People consume our products not only for COVID, but for many other health reasons. So I think Megha should fare better than others in this current scenario. Anything else that I need to significantly touch on? I think I will now leave you to ask questions, because there are many small details which all of you probably have in your mind and you would like to ask us. And the team is here to answer your questions. We are ready to answer your questions. I think there's no common things, areas I can think of that I should probably explain so it's easier, but when you ask, we'll try and answer them as clearly as possible. So we are ready for your questions now. Open the floor. Shall we open the floor and receive your questions? Yes, please. You can introduce yourself, let us know who you are, and ask the question, and we'll answer them as best as we can. Thank you. Welcome. We welcome you. Yes, please.
Faizan, hi. You can raise your question, please.
You talk.
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It's the volume. No?
Hi. Thank you very much for the opportunities. This is Sean from Opposite Capital. Hi, Kun Vivek. Hi, all the management. Just one question for me, right? So you have always set a target of, you know, double the business for every 5 years or so since for the past 10 years. So just wondering, so I think in Thailand, you've been already a dominant player and you're expanding into the other markets. So can you give us a bit more sense of how big is the market that you are addressing in total, and where do you see the opportunities in the longer term? Like, which one is more challenging, which one would take more time, and which one would you put more investment budget into to expand the business to achieve that long-term goal that you have set? Thank you very much.
I think if you look around, Thailand is a 66 million population. Pharma business sits around $5 billion. But then, you know, the business changes from MSC originator drugs to generics to branded generics and first to launch. So this is common, right? New drugs come in, old ones get taken by generic companies who are first to launch. At the same time, the models also change. People start to self-medicate a lot more as they learn. As the wellness industry changes, you don't just wait for the hospital to get yourself treated. So as countries mature, aging population comes in, the type of products they use, the type of disease they have, NCDs grow, where you have to manage yourself on a longer term basis from infectious diseases. So I think it's just not only about markets. One is markets grow. So we are in countries where there's still potential for upside of the market. Okay, they will never become $400 per year per person spend, or $110 per person per year spend like Australia or some other countries. But at $8-$9 average to $20-$30, there's still an upside of consumption growth, right? As hospitals become bigger, as drugs reach, as services reach, as population ages, as disease grows. So Vietnam is 100 million population sitting at $3.5-$4 million. So these countries have definitely an upside, from Philippines to Vietnam to Thailand also, and Indonesia as well. Okay, governments are now covering universal coverage scheme. You see, like Thailand, they have BPJS, somebody in Vietnam has something else. So the models change, that they start buying products and providing to their social service. Government provide it free, or they have model where you support it, you subsidize it. So I think in those models, the units grow and generic companies probably become bigger. And we are also playing in those categories where we are first to launch. So I think growth will come from the markets we are in. And we are in serious, sizable areas. You know, Indonesia, we are very small, but they are very big players. But still, in a $9 billion market that can become 16, we have a chance to at least, okay, $16 billion is probably at consumer price. But if you come back at pharma factory prices also, to become a $50-$100 million business is not a $100 million, not a, I mean from 30 in another 5 years or 10 years we say we keep doubling, so we should get to $100 million. So growths are going to come from these countries, where Vietnam, if we are sitting at 80-90, we could become a $200 million company. There's a definite opportunity for that to happen. And Thailand, with the growth in units and growth in consumption and growth in areas where we are, and with oncology drugs and ophthalmic drugs, new drugs that we are getting into, we should see an upside in that area as well. You know, we are not only fighting in the old category. One is more consumption. As belief grows and more consumption grows in the areas we are focused on, and as people age, you have gut health issues, you have incontinence issues. You get older, you have urinary tract issues, you have what we call benign prostate BPH issues. So product categories change, and we are playing in those areas. We are getting ourselves ready to grow in those areas, in the markets where we are. Then the other part of our business, though, Africa is very fragile. It's got all kinds of issues with democracy, with geopolitical issues, but still 100 million in Ethiopia, 200 million in Nigeria. If one day they sort out their problems and we have products and brands and registrations and we have teams on the ground and we have very good relationships, if you walk into Ghana, you walk into Kenya, we have serious brands in the markets where we are. So if those markets do get better, even with dictatorships remaining and income levels growing, Tanzania has found gas, Uganda has found oil, somebody's got copper. And with this change in geopolitics, they want to buy oil and gases and there and reduce dependency from other parts of the world, like Russia or anywhere else. So I think as these economies get better and we having an entrenched position, so this is a little bit longer term game. They should also develop from where they are today. Some markets are only sitting at 800 million. A 200 million population like Nigeria probably has a less than $1 billion pharma market, right? So are there possibilities that in 10 years time, they can become 2 billion or 3 billion. They should. So looking at them. Two is, what can we do? One, the market gets better. Two is, what Mega can do better than the market and other players are doing. By being there, building brand, investing in brands, getting the right products in the market, we are also building new categories there in this market. So put these two together without having to look at more geographies. I mean, forget anything else. Okay, yeah, we're in Peru and Colombia. They'll also become bigger. Peru, Colombia, Ecuador. We are in smaller Latin market. We are not going to be in the bigger Argentina and Brazil unless we acquire. But that's not what we plan to do. So we are going to build there. And Ukraine, Uzbekistan also, but they are not that large, 20 million. And Ukraine is still, whatever the size they have 32 million people left in the country. They have 3-4 million left the country. But still, they have money there. We are still selling. We are still growing. But we are not expecting that to become 3-4 times bigger at the moment with the situation they are in. But they are stable. And but the real growth is going to come from these two areas and with the growth that we can bring ourselves and at the market themselves. So with that, we still remain confident that every five, six years, we stand a good chance of doubling at least our own branded business. I'm not, now we don't ever talk about our distribution business. We say our branded business bottom line should double. Top line will be maybe 80 to 100, 120, but the bottom line has a bigger, as you grow your top line, the bottom line doubling has a higher chance, you know, because a lot of other things, cost structure doesn't multiply at the same rate, right? Okay, margins may drop, but your volumes go up, right? You compete in generic, some become lower, some products you sell, you launch first, you are higher. So this is a constant game we are playing all the time. It's a regular thing that you're doing. So with that, the expectations are we could do this every 5-6 years. And I think we have done it once. We probably will be able to do it twice, at least this next 25-26 was our plan. We may be able to do it in 25. I think earlier we said 25-26, 5-6 years. But we think we should be able to do that in 25. Then we will start a strategic planning session again in 25 and see what we can do in the next 5-6 years. But I have a feeling in the next 5-6 years, we'll probably have a similar goal to double the bottom line in the branded business. Yeah.
Overall.
But branded plus this, but I'm saying real growth is when we say growth in terms of bottom line.
Top line may grow by
60%. Top line may not grow 100%. May not grow double, but may go 180, 170. Well, distribution has their own limits, and if things don't change in Burma, that was our biggest. I mean, out of the total distribution, 65-70% came from there, right? So that may not happen. That depends. If things change, it may come back. But that's the fact. It's a fact that you all know very well. I don't know if that answers your question. Sorry.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's clear.
We have a few more hands, please. Number one, anybody? Narumon, you want to start?
Yes. Thank you very much, Ka. Thank you very much for your presentation. Yeah, Narumon from KKPS. I have two questions about the financial numbers. It would be great if you elaborate more on this number. Question number one is that regarding to the MD&A in the third quarter 2022, I mean last year, the core profit was adjusted down from like 658 million to 583 million baht. So what is the reason for the retroactive adjustment? You want me to read the second question before you answer?
No, so
let Manoj answer.
Sure.
Yes, for Thomas.
Yeah. Yes, please. So 658 million was the reported profits, and we have made two adjustments to that. One is the gain which is arising on account of Forex. Last year, the currency had significantly depreciated Thai baht to USD, which had given us a 97 million baht gain, which is what we have adjusted. And
yes. And
21 million baht was coming from the losses arising on account of new business, which has brought our profits from 658 million to 583 million on a normalized basis.
Yes, I understand that. But if you look back at the third quarter 22, right? If you look at the MD&A last year, I think the number is quite different. I mean, you had just down core profit last year as well. So I just wonder what situation changed? Why you adjust the FX? Like last year, I think about FX gain, right? But this year you adjust to FX loss. So I think the number is quite.
Yes. So last year we had this dual currency impact coming on account of Myanmar, which we started reporting from quarter four. But the actual impact was coming from quarter three onwards.
Mm.
So what we have done here is a dual currency impact of Myanmar, which was an adjustment to the gross profit. That is what we have normalized in our The numbers which you are representing in third quarter 2022 is coming on account of that.
I think you can get on a different call with
yes, yes. Kunaraman, we can explain you in detail. I hope you understand the dual currency impact of Myanmar, but maybe I can explain you in more details on a separate call.
Sure, sure. So we should not see any impact in like in the fourth quarter and onwards, right? It shouldn't be one time, right? In the third quarter last year.
That's adjusted, right.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right.
It would be like lag effect from FX. Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. My second question is in this quarter, third quarter 2023, this quarter, the reported foreign exchange was lost about like 800 million baht, right? On the financial statement, but in MD&A it was gain like 38 million baht. So what's the difference between those two figures? I mean, reported loss for FX in financial statement, but gain in MD&A.
We'll get on another.
Sure. This is again coming on account of the Myanmar dual currency impact. Kunaraman, maybe after this call, maybe I'll give you a call and explain you things in more detail.
Okay.
But again, the same reasons what you have, what I've explained earlier.
So my last question. Did you see the deterioration of business in Myanmar? Is it like is the relatively stable or worsened?
I think it's more or less stable, and you know, next year I think we just saw the budgets. They are also looking at some growth next year. So looks like, you know, it's stabilized now, and I mean, it's still the conditions are still not normal, as you know. So there are lot of issues, but still, I think as a company, we are looking towards some growth next year if everything remains the same and things don't get worse.
Okay, understand. Okay, thank you very much.
There's some questions in the chat.
So I think we had Yuvanni, you had some questions.
Yes. Yes, a few questions, please. First, this for this year, do you think fourth quarter will be the peak season, peak quarter again?
I think generally speaking, you know, fourth quarter, tended to be better if you look at things historically. Now, this year was probably the first year after the COVID. So we are hoping that, you know, the last quarter, you know, should probably look better, you know. So overall, our feeling is that, yes, the fourth quarter, we should be able to catch up a bit. That's how we have guided also in the beginning of the year onwards. By end of the year, we should be able to get closer to last year's numbers. Thank you.
I mean, compared to other quarters of this year, will it be the peak quarter, at least in terms of sales?
I mean,
I don't want to compare to last year. I want to compare to this year.
I think we can only relatively compare with last year. You know, so it's again the last three quarters post COVID, how things have changed. You know, it's very difficult to project and to predict. So compared to last year, we feel yes, definitely we will do better. But compared to previous quarters, it's still a year unfolding after COVID. I don't think we can, with any, you know, amount of certainty, guide you that way, you know. So compared to last year, definitely better. Overall, by end of the year, closer.
It has to be a better quarter, but if you look at many, many years, every year before last quarter.
Yeah, but then she's asking, quarter. Compared to last quarter, previous quarters, this year, will it be a better? Because it's already a high quarter, so we cannot.
Which, this year?
This year, compared to the previous quarters in this year, will the last quarter be better? Or we are saying, compared to last year's last quarter, this year will be better. This year, because it's already on a high, so we can't really see how it's going to unfold.
Okay, second question is for next year. I think you mentioned that the revenue growth will be mid to high, single digit. Where will this come from the branded or the distribution?
Branded business. We're only talking branded business here, largely branded business. Distribution will also, distribution in Myanmar, if it Myanmar pharma grows, it'll also grow. So if revenue growth is going to happen 5 to 8%, it'll also come from Myanmar as well, a little bit. But a lot of other businesses we hope to grow as well, a little bit faster than Myanmar. So there are a lot of products in pipeline, as I mentioned before. I mentioned that there are products in pipeline, new product approvals have come, which are getting launched, will get launched. So there's expectation that there'll be growth from these areas. New products in the same country. And correction after COVID, what we have seen decline this year, stocking decline, old decline, there should be some correction even in the consumer health division as well.
So if conditions in Myanmar is stable, will you see some growth in the distribution business next year?
Yes. Already we are seeing, compared to 22, it is much better this year. So we are seeing a lot of companies have readjusted their plans. Some of them have started local manufacturing for consumers. So it's happening. Some are looking at other ways.
So it will be mid to high single digit for distribution, do you think, if things are stable?
I'm saying overall, but I'm not putting any words on my mouth, because if you keep saying it again and again, I cannot answer that question. But as an overall, we should be getting into mid to single digit, higher digit in next year, all combined. Could be brands are 50% grows at, some grows at 12%, and if you can grow at 5%, so average, we should grow at more than 7-8%. Yeah, more between mid to 5-10% in that range.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Harry, you had a question?
We should open view all.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yes.
Great. Thank you very much. I have several questions. The first is just related to the third quarter revenue growth. And you mentioned in the comments before that a large part of that was due to the impact of Thai baht appreciation. So could you share with us what the growth would have been if you strip out that change in currency?
Flat.
Okay, it would have been flat without the FX. Okay. And then when it comes to the FX losses that you'd seen, are you expecting that to continue to increase in the rest of the year? Like what are the FX losses you're expecting for the full year?
I think major part is Nigeria, 150 million baht. Other than that, you know, the impact is on gross margins because of the appreciating baht. Because we invoice, we are exporting, so invoice in baht, in dollars. So as the baht gets stronger, you know, it impacts your gross margins. So forex trend, other than the Nigerian currency, should continue, because I think last year, last quarter was 35, right? So last year, last quarter was already 30, the baht was already at 35. So in this year, the last quarter, probably if the baht stays at 35, maybe not a big impact. But the timing difference impact, because what was sold in previous months, that gets received. We receive it during the last quarter. To that extent, there'll be some losses. But it'll be better than the other quarters if the Thai baht remains at 35, because last year the baht had already appreciated to 35 in the last quarter. Thank you.
Okay, that second element is what impacts your revenue. But...
yeah, maybe 36.
Correct.
36. Yeah. And the bit I was actually referring to was just the... what you recognize in the next forex, net forex gain or loss, I think, which was 410 million in the 9 months, and about 84 or 94 million in the third quarter.
Sorry, what's the question, Harry?
So the first, you were referring to the impact on the revenue growth, but this question is more related to the net forex gain or loss that you report as well, which was 410 million.
Yeah.
And my question was just do you expect that to be constant for the rest of the year, or do you expect, you know, more net loss to occur because of Nigeria?
I think it really depends. If the baht remains, there will still be impact of timing difference. What we sold at 37 in the last quarter, when we receive that money in the last quarter, we'll have to take an impact. So this is the timing difference. But on the sales, on the gross margin part, it will be more steady, because baht has already appreciated to 35. Last year also, last quarter was 35. So the impact is going to be lower, but there would be a slightly an impact.
Okay, and my understanding is that net forex loss, the operating expense that you report, that's all related to Nigeria in this 9 month period.
Yes, the 187 million baht which you look at, which we have normalized, mainly is coming from Nigeria.
That's out of the 410 million.
So 410 million is coming from the Myanmar dual currency impact.
Take him offline. I think we should get on a call after this so we can move on to other questions.
I agree, but I also think it's quite important given there's so many questions about it. It seems like this is an issue that's...
170 in Nigeria, which may not happen again because already been up to that level, 1,000 anyway. We don't expect, we are not seeing that happen. So there does have to be a correction. What's happening because of the dual two currency impact is a different thing. That is shown at 400 below the line. That Manoj can explain to you. That impact is not going to be all the time. It's a methodology that we have.
Understood.
Treat business in Myanmar. So it's not an impact. It's a methodology that causes that. So there are two things in there.
To address the concern, the last quarter, if baht remains at this level, our gross margins won't have an impact. But the impact would be because of the AR that will receive at 35, which we sold at 37, sure, that extent. So that is going to be the impact. So it's going to be much lesser than what you saw in the previous quarter. So that is the general guidance we can give you. We can get more specific than that. Thank you.
Got it. Okay, thank you. And the last question was just when you get the adjusted net profit in the MD&A, what's that? Is that difference is also the 170 or?
Adjusted net profit.
Adjusted net profit is a result of the forex, which is mainly coming from Nigeria. And the second impact which you see is coming the losses of the new business, which we add back.
Okay.
Because we are in the gestation period. So that's what these are two major adjustments which we do in the adjusted net profits.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks very much.
So there are questions on the chat.
The first 230 was answered double. Yeah. Coming from Indonesia. Bottom line largely, not top line. Already answered. Double group. API prices are trending. API prices, we have so many. Not one is effective. Some are lower. If you talk about vitamin C, it is much lower because the demand has gone up by 40%. And there are some APIs that may have a higher impact. Generally, it all depends on demand and ingredients coming out of. If it's an API for drug, they come out of India and China. Largely, India depends on China for intermediates. So there's not a major impact that was in some parts earlier because of some of the areas that were constrained by agriculture crops. So the impact is not sizable. I mean, there is some, but it's not very sizable in the overall business. There's something else in the quick question, right?
Yeah, I think we have covered it in the other answers.
Yeah,
everything
that them are covered. Right?
Is all covered.
Yeah, already covered. Single digit. The third quarter you said is flat, is not declined after you take away the currency impact. Yeah. All right. Doesn't look like there are any more questions. If there are none, we can also close our session now. If you have anything, you can always come back. Francis, Manoj, Thomas, Na, all of them are here at your service. Explanations. So once again, thank you. We have one. Harry, yeah, please.
Yeah, but just related to the comments you made about the fourth quarter. And I think if we look at 2020, 2021, third quarter was the strongest, but is that, did you say that was due to COVID, as a COVID impact, and typically without COVID, the fourth quarter is the strongest?
I mean, historically, always there is, we keep explaining this every time. We used to all the time say, why is the fourth quarter is always higher? A, you have sales contracts, you have this and that with all the, because we have retail business, so you have all these contractual obligations, closing sales. There's no other reason. It's not that people are only buying more, but they're also, and it generally was always 10%. So we control that to not push too much stocks at the end. And then the first quarter becomes lower, which is, if you look at historical, always fine. High fourth quarter, lower first quarter. Everywhere, all businesses, pharma, everybody has this. You know, somehow or the other, this is very common. But how do you make sure it's not too much? It's within plus minus 5-10%. That's how you manage it. But with COVID and all being around there because of shortages, lack of stocks, people were buying as they needed. They didn't wait for, they were not looking at the last quarter. It was very much dependent on where the COVID peak happened. And where shortages were there, all the retailers were stocking up, you know. So it was just that wild madness going around and people were buying. Pharma businesses were down because there were no hospital visits. So that had come down. They were declined. If you look at pure pharmaceuticals, if you look at 22, 21, you'll find decline. And they're all had a good year in 23 now because the hospital business and what do you call surgeries that were not necessary or elective surgeries, all these came back. So the pharma business has seen an uptick, whereas the consumer business has seen a downturn. With other economic situation conditions as well, with things happening around the world. And largely the COVID-related products, as I said, DEC and all the other kind of products that are related to COVID have also, mouth sprays and lozenges, have seen a decline. But the hay fever, flu and all is back, so some things are back in business, but not completely zero. But our business was never... We didn't launch a product. I don't think we launched a single product only for COVID. 99%, I would say 98 of them were there. There were one or two that we are planning to launch, which we repositioned.
We won.
I think one or two we launched with. All of them were already in business. So they became bigger than we planned. And now they are back, but they're not down to, they're bigger than they used to be. So we are in a better position today than we were in 2019 or 18. I would think so. So it's up to us now to grow those businesses from where we were. And some are already very large. So there has been that impact. But the good thing is that's not had a major. In spite of that, if the brand business in turnover has stayed, even after correcting for currency, we are still flat. So that means it's still good because some other things are taken up. And this is 9 months gone. If the fourth quarter is good, then we will be even be in a better shape. That's what we are trying to tell you. Factually, you analyze yourself. This is a fact. So, yes, who doesn't have an impact? Please do Google. You'll find everybody from look at big companies, look at the reduction in sales of any company from the U.S. Biggies who are in the business who are all doing COVID. Look at forget the vaccine guy. They're really down by a much larger number. But some companies lived off Remdesivir, Favipiravir and all. We were not in those businesses. We didn't have any of those antiviral drugs and all that. So our biggest gain was in the vitamin, single vitamin area. In spite of that, things are not that bad. And we always said, I think in the beginning of the year, we said there will be an impact. But looking at our portfolio, we knew that there will be some to manage that. Not all countries will have the same type of impact. So, but we've had double whammy. We have this, we also got Myanmar, we've also got Ukraine. But in spite of all that, I think the business is strong. The show has got strength. It's got strong legs and it's holding on. And we have a potential to build on top of where we are in the markets we are sitting in. So that's where we are coming from, that we will deliver 25. There's a very high likelihood. I mean, anything can go wrong. But there's a very high likelihood, let's say 80 to 90% chance of delivering 25. And then within the next 5-6 years, we are again talking about something similar, at least doubling the bottom line by 30. Sorry,
two more questions.
We are working.
Read out.
We planned to actually build a plant in Vietnam.
read out the question so people know what.
So we there you are asking about Vietnam acquisition, but
can see.
I think what we had informed you was that we are going to build a facility, greenfield in Vietnam. It's on track. We are working on it. There are some deal land issues, etc., that we are sorting out. And I think by next quarter, when we meet you and when we announce, we should have the final details of timeline and when we should be ready. There have been some delays because of these technical issues. The old land have got licenses and they are structured with what they can do. They were given for a certain purpose. So all these things are there. We're sorting that out. That's what I'm saying. But yes, it is on card, and we have a serious plan to invest in a pharmaceutical factory. And there are reasons for it, which we have explained to you before. I won't spend time doing that now. But if anybody ever knows, next time we can explain to you why we are doing what we are doing.
I think the next question is about distribution margin, reason for going up. As we explained, yeah, it is because of one principal, lower contributing principal leaving us. And will this trend continue? If the product and the principal mix remains the same, yeah, you know, there's a good chance it can continue. But if the product and principal mix changes, which happens in distribution, then it will change. So as of now, if things change, things don't change, yes, that is a trend you can expect. Thank you.
Yes, we can conclude. Say thank you. Close it, man.
So, thank you very much.
I require that you record the meeting. Their policy. Okay. So now you can conclude, Mr. Manoj.
Yes. So, thank you very much for everyone's participation. If you have more questions, you can always get back to us, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. So, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Wadika.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.